I read from you and you're hearing from Matthew 16, 13, and 18 from the New King James Version of the Bible. I come to you how we are and how things around us are. But he said, keep reminding them, and I'm using for a subject again this morning, God's church and God's people. Nothing snazzy about that. There's nothing catchy about that will make people want to get excited. But you got to remember just what I said. God's church and God's people. And that's inclusive to those of us who are saved. That you can put me in with God. I'm living in high cotton. If you put me in the situation with God's people, then I must be something. But I think the thing about it that, see, we don't get excited about knowing who we are and whom we belong. I don't even get no reaction. I get more reaction, and I'm just as much guilty of this, is that sometime when I think about my mother, and she's gone on to be with the Lord, and some of you experience the same thing. If you talk too long about it, tears going to go rolling down my eyes. Because that connection that I have with her. You start talking about my pops for so long, I may not bring tears, but it brings a smile to think about who he was and who he has been in my life. But there is someone who is much higher than even my mama and my daddy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The songwriter says this, when I think of his goodness, see how we need to be reminded? When I think of his goodness and all, listen, that's a big word. Look at what all he's done. Even in the inception of our birth, the Lord has been with us. Am I speaking the truth here? Jeez, I'm losing something here. My brothers and sisters, we got to understand something. When we're connected with God, there's many things that God put expectations on us. Y'all follow me? Yes, yes. God didn't call us just to come and dress up on Sunday morning to come to church. Tell it. To come to the building of the church. But he made reference to us, as he says in his word, man can build things and do all kind of organization, but he said, this thing I will build myself. I don't care how big your cathedral, how big your infrastructure and all the finery in it. God does not build that. He builds the one who comes in. He builds us. So now when we come into the house that we call the house of God, it's just a building until we get here. When we get here, the church shows up. When you come in here, you make this building the church. Now, what kind of aroma you give off in the church, it depends on what spirit you bring with you when you get here. Oh, I know I'm preaching. Some people ain't got nothing to say about the Lord. But you know what? You ain't thinking about his goodness. You have not established your relationship. Nobody got to tell you to clap your hand. Nobody got to. You think of his goodness, hallelujah, and you think of what he's doing right now. You can't hold your peace, because when the Spirit of the Lord has liberty, the people of God rejoicing in knowing that who the Lord is. People come to church talking about they got to get prime. The music wasn't that. The music wasn't that. It gets a little chilly in the church. The preacher didn't preach today. But what did you bring? What did the church bring? What did the Spirit bring in you that you can come and bring revelation and hype to the Lord? Yes, yes. What do you have here this morning? Well, you have to leave here and look me over and say, well, whatever he got on, whatever he said, how is the pro. But that's not important. But when the church get together, there will be a burn fire. fire in here. There ought to be people on fire for the Lord. And just think about last week, I remember how the Lord brought me through this. I can think about how I had to get here. I remember them demons who were behind me. But the evidence of who God is showing up in my life. And I'm here to be a living witness to let everybody in here know that I know who the Lord is for myself. I don't have to worry about what nobody else is saying. I will build my church. The fascination of today's church is built on so many gimmicks and schemes, which can be drawn cards for those who want to experience that. Churches have gimmicks and schemes just to get people to come. But the Bible said, lets us know that if you're not drawn by his word, by his spirit, then you are basing it upon something else other than God. Listen, all of us love, enjoy the things of the atmosphere of preaching and teaching and reverencing the word of God. And we all enjoy the sweet aroma and the sweet sounds of musicians and singers. We enjoy those things. But those things are not the primary reason I'm here. I'm here that I may be built by God to build his church. I'm going to get into some stuff later that you understand why it's so important for each one of us to be built. You can't go to church off what grandmama had. You can't do the will of God based on what your people did. That's why you got to let your family know. If you don't want to go, you don't have to. But you ain't going to hinder me. Come on now. I'm going to encourage you to go, but Lord have mercy. You can't hold me back. I got a God I got to glorify. Hallelujah. Jesus gives us a solid blueprint of how his church is to be. If you would turn your Bibles, if you will, for those of you who have them. If not, it's going to be on the screen. I apologize to Julius. I didn't get his notes to him. Just got things going on, Julius. 1 Peter, if you will. 1 Peter, the second chapter, fourth verse. Well, by this time, you got to understand something that coming to him by this time, Jesus had raised Peter to a level of spiritual maturity. Yes. And it states in Luke 22, 32, but he said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. This is Luke 2, 22, 32. I'm sorry, y'all. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Now watch how the building of the church is. See, you can't do the will of God until you convert it. Peter thought he could. Lord, I'll go out and I'll die for you. I'll do all this thing, but the Lord let the devil know that I've already prayed for him. Hallelujah, somebody. I've already prayed for him. And Peter, when you are strengthened, strengthen your brother. Now Peter got a lot to say. Because the Lord already prayed for him and gave him strength. Some people just making noise and ain't saying nothing because they ain't got the strength of God. Well, how do you know when you get the strength of God? When trouble comes, you don't fall apart. Come on. See, believers got to understand something. We're going to have trials and tribulation. But we got to understand something. We are overcomers. Those trials and tribulation ain't going to take us down. We're going to feel sometimes like we ain't got no friends in the world. But you got to realize I got a friend in Jesus. And how many know when I got Jesus, I got more than enough. I can make it whatever situations come my way. Because I got him, I got enough. But because, you know, you crying and weeping and going through all the things, nobody don't understand. I'm going through this, nobody understand. Listen, you ain't got the wrong stuff. You got the right stuff. You got to get the right stuff. You got to get converted. The Bible says that he calls us to be a living stone rejected in by man, but chosen by God. That's 1 Peter, I'm sorry, 2:4. And you are a living stone. We are a living stone that's connected and built on Jesus. We are a living stone. Not only a living stone, but a precious stone in the sight of God. Don't ever think that you're not worthy of doing the will of God. That's why God said, I'll build my church on those who are converted, because, listen, if you got everything together and you perfect, God can't use you. Because God gonna build what he wants. That's why when he came and they got upset with the religious leaders of the time during Jesus' time, they got upset with him because he hung out with the prostitutes. He went down there and did things with the tax collectors. He said, listen, they had need of him. So don't think because if you see a deacon that used to be a drunk, that's God's doing. God's building him a church. If you see a drunk and all of a sudden now you seen a prostitute, now she's a prophetess. That's the work of God. God building him a church. But how many know if you already think you there and I got it all together, God can't build me because I'm already there. I know what it's like. I got this. God said, I can't use you, but I'm looking for somebody who are willing to give up themselves and give themselves to me. Boy, I tell you what, y'all getting some good stuff here. Listen to what it says. You also, as a living stone, are being built up a spiritual house. Although spiritual house is a name, there are other names that will refer to the church. In Revelation 21:9b, it says, come, I will show you the bride of the Lamb's wife. So the church is considered as the bride of Christ. And he has to prepare his bride for when he comes. There's a couple in this audience. I ain't going to call them by name. But they're getting ready to jump the broom. Yeah. And she's preparing herself for the groom. Yeah. And anybody knowing things, and we've talked about this before, anybody knowing thing about weddings, the groom don't do much. Just show up. And sometimes brothers have a difficult time showing up. But she goes through all of the things making preparations for the coming together. Y'all ain't following me here. The thing that we got to understand, the church need to be preparing because he's coming. And he said in his word, he said, when I come, I'm looking for a church without spot or wrinkle. Now, here it goes back to bride and groom coming together. What color does she wear? I'm going to come down there a minute. I got to come back up here, but I can't stay up down here without my notes. Ain't got it like that no more. He looked like he calm, but he's shaking. He looks and behold, the bride, adorned in purity. I know that's a lost cause in our society, right? People even tell you, you ain't got no business wearing that white. Get you a off-white or something, or beige. I mean, we find humor in that, but God is saying he's looking for a church without spot or wrinkle. He ain't giving us no out like that. He's looking for a church that's pure, white, pure righteousness when he comes. That's why we ain't got time to be playing around in church, because we don't know when the bridegroom is coming. And when he comes, he said, my reward is with me. Church got to be ready. When the bride comes in our wedding, some tradition have the congregation to stand. To stand and to adorn and to adore the bride. All the attention is on the bride. Ladies begin to do their inventory. From how her hair is prepared, yes, until a dress down to her shoes.
Come on, Pastor. Come on, Pastor.
Looking it over.
That's right.
You ain't got to say, man, I know what happens. And then they do the double take. Start from the shoes. Back up. Well, that's the key word. Make sure it's right. And I've seen situations in weddings, and perhaps you have, in weddings that the wedding gown may get tangled up on something. People jumps up that don't usually jump up to be able to fix it, fluff it up, for it can trail behind the bride.
Yeah.
Because they want her to be right for the groom. The father or whomever is going to escort the bride proudly comes in. Standing with his daughter to give her away to the groom. Now let's see the church. The Holy Spirit been working on us throughout our lives, getting us ready for when the groom comes. So now when the presence of God, he escorts us in the presence of God and let the Lord know this one is ready. They fought a good fight. Y'all ain't following me here. They kept the faith. They hung in there. They stayed in there when folk talk about them. They kept their eyes on the prize. They kept their eyes on the groom. Hallelujah. Because when it all said and done, it's going to be the bride and the groom. I don't know about you, but I didn't want my mama, my daddy, my sisters and brothers, and nobody in the congregation to go on the time where consummation had to come place.
Look out now.
Y'all know what consummation is. I'm going to put it this way. You know what? Some of y'all know what happened on wedding night. A lot of people can't understand this preaching because they too busy want to please themselves. But I want you to understand something that God is doing for the church, that the church has got to prepare themselves to be with God. And you can't go to heaven with all kind of mess. You can't go to heaven thinking that because I went to church every now and then, every I showed up every now and then, but God is letting us know that I'm building a church, a place, a person that's equipped to be with God. Am I wanting something? I ain't going back up. I'm going to stay down. Folk have lost sight of what the church is about. Again, in Revelations 29 and 1, it says, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Then it goes on to say in 1 Peter, it says, we are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Sixth verse says, therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. Behold, hallelujah, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. The people of God got to understand something. Oh, if we're going to build on the things of God, then we got to know who we are and what we're building on. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief stone. Who do they reject? They reject Jesus. People still rejecting Jesus. It's my way or nowhere. If you can't do it my way, well, let's do it God's way. He's already been rejected, but now I'm going to receive him. God is still being rejected in what manner? God is not going to compete. Let me say this now. God is not to compete with anything in heaven nor in earth. He will not accept second place in the lives of anyone who has an ultimate. He's already paid the ultimate price. He's not going to compete for you. He's not going to compete for your time, your resources, but he showed you his promises. But he ain't compete. Either you do or you don't. And God gives us a choice to accept it or not, but he's not going to compete. And he's not going to give you a lower standard to try to win you over. Lord, if you start church 12 o'clock, I'll come. If you do it at a certain time, I'll come. If you don't have no Bible study on Wednesday, I might show up. He ain't going to lower the standards to suit our case. I don't care who you are. God ain't going to suit. He knows that he's already paid the ultimate price. And what he does, he lets us know, you don't belong to yourself. I already paid for you. But some of us don't realize who made the purchase. Now, let me get back to our point. Who made the purchase? Because, see, the Bible says, Jesus already proclaimed that, listen, the gates of hell is not going to prevail against me. So if you're going the devil's way, guess what? You ain't going to still stop God's plan. He's going to build his church. That's why he said, where two or three gather in my name, there will I be also. See, what many people don't understand, it don't take a whole crowd. The Lord said, look at them. Look at them. There's a lot of them, but they ain't none of my name. Their minds are wondering on one thing or another. That's what God's telling me right now. Their mind ain't on what you're preaching here. How long are you to take? What's for dinner? Where are we going? If we leave now, we'll beat the crowd. All those things. But the Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail. Now, that doesn't mean he won't try. I'm a living witness in here, and I know I ain't by myself. He tried me. But I had to have to tell the devil, I don't belong to you. I know who my God is. I know what he means to me. I know what he's done for me. I got any witnesses in here? Somebody have to be able to let the devil know that. Listen, I'm standing on the promises of the Almighty God. I know where I've been, but thank God I have mercy. I know where I'm going. God has already given me a blueprint of the plan to stay in his word. Give me a few more minutes, y'all. In the process. We have to always establish that what Jesus is doing in the church. And let me tell you something. Don't ever think that we can't, that the Lord can't do it without you. I don't care who you are. Preacher, y'all get a search committee. Let's get another one. Deacons, I don't care who you are. God's going to go on with his plan irregardless. Now, I'm going to give you a little Old Testament advice here, an Old Testament story. That because the nation of Israel, they got stupid and crazy. You know what God said? I'll take the remnant and build from that. If you got power in knowing who God is, he can take a little bit and make a whole lot of that. See, many of you know the story, but you don't know the concept about the two little fish and five loaves of bread. See, we love to shout about it, but how many know with just a little bit of faith in God, you can overcome mountains? With strength in knowing who God is, you can speak to your illness. You can speak to your sickness. You can speak to things in your life because you believe in the one who's able. 2 Peter says this. 2 Peter 1:5. Now, remember, keep this in mind. This is Peter doing all this preaching now, but one time, Peter was crazy talking, but he was converted. Watch how he helped build the church. He said, but also in the 2 Peter, the first chapter, 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now watch the sequence of addition. Are y'all following me? Say amen or something. Do anybody need to take a stretch or something? Boy, y'all look dead and cold. And I'm just on fire for Jesus up here myself. But also for this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To your virtue what? Why you don't come and get some knowledge of the word of God? Because you're building it on your emotion of how you feel. Some of us can't get past John 3:16. God did more than that. That's why he wrote 66 books. Add to that. Watch what it said, add to your knowledge. To your knowledge, you add something. What? Self-control. As believers, we ain't got no business jumping off the broom. Jumping off the handle, I'm sorry. I was in the ballpark. The handle of the broom. I'm preaching plain to you. And that's all I'm doing, preaching plain to you. I'm teaching plain to you. You got to add to it. See, when we made our children come to church over the years, and I look at some of these small children now coming to church, I say, Lord, when is this trend going to continue? Because they get to a certain part, they feel like that ain't for me. But we didn't allow them to add to. Some of us ain't giving our children a chance now. They don't even bring them to teaching time. Don't give them a chance. But we're expecting them to grow up and be saints. Preach, Scott. We dress them up good, though. They look good. But we got to put some good in it because he said here, add to your knowledge self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. Be kind to one another. If you're going to build on the church of God, we got to learn how to get along. How the church going to be bickering and getting apart and standing like we are, and we standing on the corner point stone of joy of God? That don't sound right. You got to build on love, kindness toward one another. You know, it's a sad state when people come to church, they can get so holy, but they can't even ride in the same car going home. Don't speak to me. Don't say nothing to me. But as soon as I hit the church, it's hallelujah. Something ain't right with that. They ain't adding stuff on to your spiritual makeup. Y'all don't like this preacher. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But watch this now. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. Let me tell you something, saints. If you ain't got it, you can't see it that you need it. If you ain't never got it and you never tasted it. You short-sighted. You can't see that far. I don't need that. Why? Because you never tasted it. Man, when I was coming up, I thought okra. They ought to just burn every okra tree up. Don't put no okra on my plate. None. That's when I was a kid. But my mama messed around one day and put them in some butter beans. I was like, hold up. Is this the same okra that I didn't like? Now I like them stewed, fried, laid to the side. Just like okra. But I had to taste it. You see, I encourage people all the time, taste God's word and see that the Lord is good. See, not based on your emotion, on your traditional past or what you think church should be. Taste the real deal. Anybody ever had real crab? Crab meat. Some of us been eating artificial crab for so long till we don't know what real crab meat tastes like. My wife can be a living witness. At one time, I ain't want nothing to do with crab. First of all, it takes too much time to get to that little bit of meat. But Lord have mercy. One day I taste it. I don't even want no more of that artificial stuff. I want the real deal. Let me help the church a little bit. You ought to be tired of a superficial church where you just come together and feel good for a little while. You ought to want the precious blood of Jesus Christ to flow all over your life. That way, when you go through difficult times, the blood is already covering you. Do I have any witnesses in here? Somebody understand what it means to know what God is like when you know him for yourself. When you know what his word said. When you know his promise is already there for you. And you know by the testimony that you can simply say that the Lord is good. And how long he's been good? He's good all the time. You don't have to go through the sin, but you know within yourself that the Lord is good. Songwriter says, and when I die, I'm going to heaven. Well, how do you know that? It's in his word. It's in his word. It's in his word, y'all. He said we will never die. Now, he's not starting talking about the physical death, but you need to know what the word of God has to say. Let me help somebody here who may be contemplating whether or not do I need to get in this word. Anything that you can come up with, God got a word for it. I don't care what it is. From early morning rising to the setting of the same sun, God has a word. He lets us know that my word is so powerful until I can speak to darkness and light has to go. My word is so powerful that it brought you out of darkness. Hallelujah, somebody. How many know if it had not been for the word of God, you and I still would be walking around in the midst of darkness. But because of his word and the drawing of his word, I'm not ashamed to tell the world that it was the power of the word of God that brought me up out of that mess I was in. It was by the word of God who put righteousness on my lip when once upon a time I was a cussing fool. It was the righteousness of God that put a new tongue in me that now I can say glory to the King. Hallelujah. I believe I'm not by myself when I think about other people who've been through similar situations to know that God is still working in your favor. And now that he's called me to work on his behalf, I make myself available to be a part of his church. His church. God's church. Finally, in God's house, he said this to his disciples, there are many mansions there. Now listen to what Jesus said. If it was not so, I would have told you. See, I'm confident in my walk with the Lord to know that when it's my time to depart here, there's still a vacancy in heaven. I ain't got no witnesses in here. There's still a vacancy in heaven just for me. And I know when I get there, he'll welcome me. He'll tell me, say, come on in, my servant, my good and faithful servant. Well, what makes me a faithful servant? I did it when I didn't feel like doing it. I did it because I know who I was doing it toward. I wasn't doing it for my pastor. I wasn't doing it for my mother, mama, father. I come to know God for myself. Now he knows me, and I know him. Y'all ain't helping me preach here. Somebody, if you don't know the Lord, you can't go with me. But if you know what I'm talking about, is anybody in here know him for yourself? If you know God has done enough for you that you can know when he comes, he said, I welcome you. Hallelujah, somebody. You got to know it for yourself, saint. The gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. That's you and I. We going to be sick? But he already told us in his word. What did he say about sickness? All sickness? It's not unto death. I ain't going to die from this. Devil, I want you to know I ain't going to die from this. I'm going to get up. Hallelujah. I'm praising, believing God that after I get off from this, listen here, I'm going to be better than I was. And not more than that, I've got a testimony. Come on, somebody. Not because he has strengthened me. I'm going to strengthen somebody else to let them know. I know it yet. I know how I've been there. But let me tell you something. The Lord is going to lift you up. If he did it for me, I know he can do it for you. Anybody in here know how to build onto others to help them build up? But the church have lost sight. I'm going to say this, and I promise you, I sit down. We mentioned this in class on Wednesday. The church have grown up and got themselves an attitude. And they wear it on their sleeves. We too sensitive. Preachers got to walk around on eggshell because he can't hurt people's feelings. Can't preach because he's scared so-and-so might stop coming. He can't preach and teach the word of God because it might offend somebody. But I don't know about you, but I done got plenty butt cut for something I ain't even do. And my mama used to tell us, and my daddy, well, if you didn't deserve it, I'm getting you for one you're going to do later. Anybody ever been there? And they used to say a thing, but I'm getting you now for the old. So you know the story. The church have gotten in a place where people want things their way. And if you don't do it my way, that's the society we live in. Listen at us. You go to Hardee's, Burger King, McDonald's, you order your sandwich, and don't tell them, don't put no mayonnaise on it. You get it back, and guess what? What'd that do? You just, I told him. I ain't going about y'all who sent it back. Because I've learned, scrape that man, I don't like my name. I'm not sending back in there to June bug. Come on, somebody who had a rough night last night and he ain't really want to be there. June bug might have something other than mayonnaise when it come back. So I just scrape that mayonnaise on off of that. Have mercy, come on, somebody. And I just get to eating whatever I'm going to eat off of that. The church have went on and got themselves an attitude. I don't like it here, so I'm going to go. I ain't going to Burger King no more. Especially the one on whatever street. I'm going that one over there. Church have went on and got themselves an attitude. I don't like it here. I go somewhere else. I'm going to find themselves. But how many of us know we all got to be accountable where God plant you, where God plant you and build you to be what he wants you to be, not be what you want, because you know we can't ever make up our mind. I know I'm saying the truth. We ain't never making up our mind. One day we got a sweet tooth and the other time I just don't want that. God knows what's best for all of us. Can you receive that and give God a praise in the house?
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, give God.